Hare Krishna, first of all, good morning, everyone. I will try to give some, sprinkle some drops of wisdom today. We understand it's the last day of this year's retreat, and it's good now to harvest a little bit our own insights so that we can take them with us. I think many of you have bought a bottle of Italian olive oil. There's more to take from here. So I will also request Raghunath Prabhu and at one stage and Kasturba Prabhu to contribute to this session, because we wish to be that it is as complete as possible. Let me just ask those who are really in the back, am I loud enough or should I put on the volume? Paramananda, how is it? Yeah? Wow, so your hearing has not gone. Yeah. Those who know Paramananda can make noise. Good. So, Jai Radha Madhava. Oops, which?
Thank you. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Jandana
Yashoda
Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Jandana Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It is my great honor, my great pleasure to try to offer to you something which is maybe very helpful for you. You have taken part in a wonderful retreat, and for me as a latecomer, it was evident, or is evident, that during this retreat something precious, something valuable has been given to you, which we could call a heightened state of consciousness. I have talked to a few of you yesterday. I remember particularly four discussions actually, where you have expressed a readiness or an enthusiasm to move onwards and take the retreat home by applying some new insights into your life. And that is actually what a retreat is meant to do. Retreats don't wish to create retreat junkies. That means people who are absolutely dependent on the next input which is given from outside. Retreats want to assist us so that we come actually to the next state of consciousness and continue cruising on the newfound level. Just like an airplane who moves up, and then it would be sad if it goes down again and doesn't reach the goal. So this idea is very important, that retreats give us impetuses, which help us to go to the next level. But alas, when we go home, there will be a knocking on our door, and we will say, no, no one is here, don't come in. But the knocking will be quite persistent, and no matter how much we don't want the new arrival in, he will somehow go to the slit or the crack of the door, or even through the keyhole in. This is who knocks. Well, your old habits. They will insist that they are not thrown out of your life. They will insist that no, we have a very real place in your life. And most of us are in great danger to succumb to these old influences and come to the level which we secretly wish to leave. We all feel a calling of a special kind, and coming to such a retreat is nothing else than an answering or a response to this inner stirring in our soul for growth, this inner calling. And it's necessary that as we leave into our old life, that we are prepared for the knocking on the door and the insistence of our old habits to enter and bring us to the place where we don't want to be. We are reminded of a very interesting personality in the Mahabharata who has so much to teach us. His name is Dhritarashtra. He was the blind king. He wielded a lot of power, but he was both physically and spiritually blind. He was the father of 100 sons, and these 100 sons were led by the prince who knows his name, Duryodhana. Duryodhana was constantly plotting against the 5 Pandavas, these great devotees of Lord Krishna, and had made many, many attempts on their lives. So Dhritarashtra, his father, was the uncle of the Pandavas, and he should have stopped his evil-minded son, Duryodhana, but due to attachment, he could not. And therefore, Dhritarashtra is actually the one who's most responsible for the outbreak of this 18 days war, the war of Kurukshetra, where millions of good men bleeded to death on the battlefield. Yes, Dhritarashtra could have stopped it because he had the influence over his son and his 99 brothers, but due to weakness, due to inner attachments, he could not do. So before the outbreak of this terrible a war, which was a fratricide going on between in the same family, no? Krishna visited Dhritarashtra and told him, you can stop it, take to the right path. And he explained in detail what that would be. And here comes Dhritarashtra's answer. And when you hear the answer, you will understand that we all have a little of this Dhritarashtra in us. Dhritarashtra said, O Keshava, O Govinda, as you speak, your words are as clear and as enlightening as a flash which comes in the darkness and dissolves all the darkness. But alas, when you speak, when you stop speaking, and when you go, at that time the old darkness begins to surround me and engulf me. Aren't we all like this? We have certain insights, as Raghunath Prabhu speaks and gives a very relatable approach to this ancient wisdom. All of a sudden, yes, it's so clear. What am I doing? Why do I waste so much time and energy? Or during a kirtan, all of a sudden we feel it. We feel not only that we understand, no, there is a almost, if the word is not exactly properly pronounced, help me, a visceral experience. Wow, oh, we are on fire, we are electrified. Or as Kostubha Prabhu gives a very well thought through presentation, we say, wow, I mean, now I have no argument left. This is true. I can understand it, no? Or we have an experience during the retreat. Not just a pizza experience, but that's also good. That's also there. But we have some experience, maybe in a conversation. Maybe we have an encounter, a meeting, where we see, wow, this is like a mirror, and I can now see what I previously was not able to see. No, so yes, it was a flash in the darkness is too much of a, I mean, I don't want to be so dark as to speak of darkness and compare the life, but you know what I mean, a sudden inspiration is there. And but as we go in our life, oh yeah, Netflix is also there. Yes, I heard about good eating habits of food which can be offered and foods which cannot offered. Be offered. The restaurant around the corner is also there, and I give innocent examples to avoid all of you blushing under your skin. Yes. What can we do? I wish to give you something which I think works very well, because I have made very good experiences with it. These are four spiritual practices and three blessings. We have written it down for you so that you are able to make a snapshot with your mobile telephone. You do not need to take notes. You can listen with undivided attention, but if your attention is more focused when you take notes, that's also good. Let me speak first about the four spiritual practices, which are really working very well. During our days, if you can somehow pencil these in or bring them in, you will be maintained. And when you hear the knocking, you can come in, but I would like you to make a habit of these four things. The first is Shastra, connection with philosophy. I believe really, and I've seen this many times, wisdom of the sages is a real wonderful service. I think you have come to appreciate this. If you can make this regular, you will see something in you changes. It's the power, the ancient power of the Bhagavatam, which is, will speak to you, which is, in my understanding, and really, I'm not saying this to flatter the program and to flatter Raghunath and Kostuba, in my understanding, it's very relatable, it's very practical, how it starts now with a nudget, and then there is, you know, the, from contemporary thinkers or thinkers who are not so long dead, and then there is the Bhagavatam, which is discussed not in a aloof way, but in a way that relates to us, and this ping pong between points. Mm-hmm. Kostuba, our brahmana, our priest who really knows the text in and out, and so on, and Raghunath, who really knows life in and out. It is in this ping pong, or in this give and take, and some real deep points come out, and then Mira concludes the whole thing by is she there? Yes, here she is, by her very, very accurate and to the point summaries, and not more than summaries, it's takeaway points which she gives to us. Wow, this is a powerful package, no? So this regular contact, my dear everyone, there is something, the Bhagavatam can be, is itself revealing to us when Bhagavatam happens, in other words, when that enlightenment or inspiration happens. It happens when you listen regularly, when you listen with some amount of faith in it, that yes, okay, some of the points are absolutely new and challenge what I know already, but let me listen and see if I can learn something. Because after all, truth might be found outside of my own brain. And finally, there should be svacheshtitam, an effort. You can find this, these 3 points in Bhagavatam 2.8.4. This is the first thing. And regularly, please do it as regularly as possible. Yesterday we met a very nice member of the community from Venezuela, and we looked for a word. Do you know what is a stalag? What is it? Stalagmite?
Stalactita.
Say it in Spanish.
Stalactita.
Stalactita.
Stalagmite.
Wow, you know everything. Stalagmites, they are in these caves. They are often white or grayish, and they are something like these towels. They're pointed things which come up like this. Do you have an image? I will say to you the German word, Stalagmiten. Mira, you know also many things. Is stalagmites? Is it? That's a word.
They have the ones come down and one comes up.
Stalactites and stalagmites.
Yeah, yes. Oh. I'm speaking of the stalagmites. It's these things. How do they come about? They come by drops, which drop from the roof of the cave, and then fall down, and these drop on contain minerals, obviously. So they the homeopathic doses of minerals, and they pile upon each other and build these beautiful mineral towers of the stalagmites. You can look it up in Wikipedia, and then you know what this is. So In the same way, wisdom of the sages will work drop by drop so that and something new is growing in you and is given birth to. It's not, we are not, I'm not making advertisement for one new program which has newly arisen. It is the Bhagavatam pure. No, it's the pure Bhagavatam. So regular contact with this, you call it Shastra in Sanskrit. We wanted to give the Sanskrit word that is the scriptures which contain philosophy, a worldview. The second thing is Sangha. Sangha means people who are best like-minded. No, Sangha means you go together. Sang, together. Ga means to go, to move forward. There is so much which we humans learn from other humans. Maybe we learn all of it. Just like our social selves come by association with human beings, our spirit, or normal human beings, who are in that culture in which we are born, our spiritual self will arise in the association with the spiritual people. What do I mean? Look at your language. From where did you learn it? From your environment. If you would have been given to the wolves when you were a small child, you would speak in wolf language and have wolf habits. But your social self has arisen by the contact with other human beings who are who bring to you a certain culture. Therefore, sometimes, and some of us still need to have a cultural detox program, because not everything is true. It's just an agreement. Let us do things like this, which has often many inherent faults. So spiritual people help you to grow in a spiritual way, and therefore Kostuba has, maybe he will talk more about it. There are thoughts in the wisdom of the sages, how to give you more of this like-minded association that can help you grow. Sangha, second point. Sadhana, so important. It's a spiritual practice. Daily you should do something. Many of us think we can think ourselves out of a dilemma in which we brought ourselves. But that's wrong. You need to act yourself out. And if you want to get to a spiritual level, you need to do the spiritual practice regularly, even if it's drops like in the stalagmite example. But daily you need to have a spiritual practice. As you know, we are Vaishnavas. There are things like chanting the names and so on. I leave this a little bit up to your mentors, what you should do. Sometimes it's, by the way, very helpful to speak with someone who is already on the path and discuss what could be a good menu plan for your spiritual practice, no? Which, what could be done, and how many, for instance, if you decide to do regular japa, how many rounds do you think is good given all my other things which I do, and so on. Sadhana, spiritual practice, will help you go. And last and not least, seva. We have translated it here into devotional service, to not have motivated service, or not things which are, you know, show off service could be there, so that you look good and have validation from others. devotional service, something which you do for Krishna, which maybe not everyone sees. I saw this yesterday. One of you, will not give the name, was there mopping the room of Srila Prabhupada. Mopping is not
correct.
You can say mopping is what is done in other mopping. Yeah, yeah. So sweeping or cleaning. Yes, you will see. Only if you do devotional service. I'm speaking of the word devotion, the proper attitude in your heart. Will the ego be bombed? Bombed is too it will go. No, where you do service for you can do it for Krishna, or you can do it also for devotees. And in fact, there is service also for just living beings, which is known in the language of the spirit as compassion. No, you do something to uplift them. Very important, because by all of these three things, you don't do it in the right spirit and don't do service, you will find out that the entrance door, which to the inner chamber, to the sacred space where all your spiritual experience wait for you, may still be blocked by the ego, which doesn't want to go so easily. So these are four spiritual practices, and really I encourage you to make a snapshot with your mobile telephone, or if you don't have it there, a friend of you can make it and then send it over WhatsApp or whatever, and so on.
Maybe we're going to take a picture and put it in the chat.
It's done.
It's done.
Of course, wow. It is.
Wow. Now, this is one thing. There is a second thing. Imagine you would stand before God. And he said, ask me for something. What would you ask? I think this image is maybe the standing before God is the most powerful image to find out what Jung would call an imagio. That is actually Italian. It's something you want to grow into. Practices should always have a goal. Huh? When I row on a boat like this, I must have an idea where the boat goes. Otherwise, it's a circular journey and I will not move forward. I want to conclude. There are three traditional spiritual goals, and I think when as it comes as a surprise, I will tell you. This is the Bhagavatam in one volume. It is extremely small, the print, so I can't recommend it for people. And there is one, let me find. Maybe I can ask Kostuba to find for me 1916. 1916. There is a list of three blessings which you will find in the Bhagavatam as goals which are to be aspired for. Thank you. Oh, it was that we had a mark. Good. Mm. I think you know the Bhagavatam contains narrations within narrations within narrations. It's almost like a mamushka, a Russian puppet, you know, where one mamushka is in another mamushka, and so on.
We have a term for that.
Yeah?
Called Sage Level 1. And that's Sutta speaking to the Namasharanya.
Oh,
sage
yeah.
Sage Level 2 is Sukadeva Goswami Mahasprabhu. Sage Level 3, maybe Maitreya.
Yes.
And Sage Level 4, then we go down.
So I will tell you something from Sage Level 2.
Okay.
Parikshit Maharaj, the emperor, as we know, is cursed to die, and the exact span of time which he still has is given to him, 7 days. So within these 7 days, he can prepare his consciousness so that he will leave the body in the most favorable mindset and move on accordingly. He moves to the banks of the Ganga, where the saint Sukadev Goswami meets him and narrates to him the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj hears it and becomes peaceful and calm and so undisturbed that he does not mind to fast for these 7 days and to stay awake without sleeping. He's so enlivened that sleep and food and worries are simply no longer there. And he then asks the brahmanas for 3 blessings which give the whole bhakti effort, the whole what you see here, the Shastra, Sangha, Sadhana, and Seva, which give it a goal, a direction, a frame in which we can recognize these as bhakti practices and not just some practices which are anyways good. No, but we can see them as they are. He says, all of you brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganges, you know, the sacred river, the representative of the Lord, also accept me. Let the snake bird, poison, or whatever magical thing is the Brahmana created, bite me at once, no problem. I only desire that all of you continue singing the Bhagavatam. It's so good. And then he says, but there is still something I want to ask you. Yes, may you continue, may this narration continue after me into the year 2022, and may it be on YouTube, yes, the Daily Bhagavatam podcast. He didn't say like this, but he had these creative ideas in mind. And then he says, but as far as I'm concerned, please, 3 blessings. He says, I offer my obeisances to all of you here, and I pray, should I again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord. I will have association with the devotees, and I will also have friendly relations with all living beings. Beautiful. We have this for you. We have written it down. three spiritual blessings. No? Rati is the Sanskrit word. Attraction to the unlimited Lord. No? I like this word, unlimited, very much. The Sanskrit word is Ananta. There is no end to him, no limit to him. He's everywhere. Some of you come from the yoga scene and you have heard that everything is connected and therefore all one. Yes, but that all one is that Lord is inconceivably a person who has loving emotions and loving pastimes. So let me have this word Ananta, unlimited, not a limited person of this world. I should have attachment, because if you have Rati, this is strong attachment, the other attachments fade away. If you have a pizza and there is next to it another meal that is overcooked porridge, overcooked porridge, no need. I go for this preparation, which is more wholesome for me, no? So by higher taste, you can give up the lower taste. So in bhakti, we want to have this attachment. We pray for it. We want to do something about it. What is the next? Prasanga. The word sangha is there, but pra just props it up. It means exalted association with devotees. Not all. I don't talk with them about what good new apps I could download on my mobile distraction machine. I have exalted subjects. Yes. What did you think about this point, which we heard in the retreat, or something? You know, what I read this or. Or even very relatable things. I have this problem. I guess I must go to this to Jiva and to open my heart about this obstacle which holds me down. You know, there is this program, Bhakti Recovery. No, maybe I should try it. Let me just hear about it and if it makes sense to me. And like this. Exalted, there should be something exalted. Prasanga, therefore. This is the Sanskrit word. Parikshit wants prasanga. And then Maitri. Some of you know this word from other traditions. It's a Sanskrit word. It means friendly relations with all living beings. It implies also compassion. In the Buddhist tradition, it is translated as loving kindness. No? You should do for others. It will again help you to move away from you. These are very powerful things. Maybe we can also, is the pen here? Narayani, maybe you can write the text of the Bhagavatam there, just underneath. Oh, here is a Bhanunandini. Is there maybe because then it's in the same writing and it looks aesthetically very pleasing.
I never know when you laugh so with this belly laugh. Did I say something foolish or? good. It's SB1. 1916.
So you could find all three of these in this?
Yes.
All three.
So I think that these things which you might like to pray for or you might like to aspire for, you will have a direction which will harness or an orientation these spiritual practices so that it goes in the most advantageous direction. Maybe we can do we can somehow stick this page somewhere else. On the gong, maybe. That is aesthetically also pleasing. Maybe if you, Valentina, are you here? Maybe you have tape, yes? Yes, then we can stick it. We can stick maybe both on the gong. Then that's a picture to take. So, yes, I have come to the end of my presentation. My dear everyone, please consider this. You have been given something precious. The light in your eyes, the sparkle in your eyes has shown this. Or yesterday's, you were not containing your joy, you had to dance. Even the dance floor was not ideal, it was a little pricking the feet. No problem, you were enthusiastic. How to maintain it should be the question. Otherwise, you take these retreats only as short entertainments. It is much more. There is much more benefit in it. There are powerful change agents which are given to you, and they are meant to be applied in daily life and lift your life to a life less ordinary. No? It brings you to a life less ordinary. Good. This is all I wanted to say. I think it's quite clear. So I will invite now Raghunath to please come. You are our Raghunath. And then we will hear from Kostuba briefly. We will whisper something, the two of us. Then you say something. Something good.
Say something. Entertaining and good.
Yes.
Who's your foot? I was really worried about you.
That's like one of my biggest nightmares. So Maharaj asked us to sing. Is that okay? Let's open our songbooks. Let's do a song. Okay, what do you say, page 4? Raja Krishna did him Raja Raja Sita. I have? You know, Shama Anandini said that something like 25 years ago or something, our band was playing a show in Amsterdam, and we all stayed at her house, and we had a little morning program. And I don't remember this, but she reminded me of this. And so she said, and you sang Matarasticum. You know, we're singing these songs every day forever. We just sing them forever. And they never get old, isn't it? They never get old. songs you hear on the radio in the old days, you like buy the single. That's what we did in the old days. You bought the single and you play it. It's like such a good song. It's such a good song. It's such a good song. And I'm like, I'm sick of this song. I'm really sick of this song. These songs never get old. They go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as you fall in love with Krishna more and more, the song means more.
Chalupadam Galapuram
Of all this stuff is that it's not about us. I'm not singing a song to prove I'm cool. I'm not even the leader of this song. And we're not, no one's, it's all like a prayer. It's like an offering. Indian dance, when you see Indian dance, it doesn't bring out like lower chakra desires. It's an offering. It's a prayer. When you see Indian art, it's all done. It's done to uplift the spirit. It's a culture. See, I grew up in a culture that was teaching you like that you should be doing this, you should do like this is appropriate, this is inappropriate. And I got to this point in me and Kostuba's punk rock life, you're like, why? Why is that right? Why should I sit like this? Why should I not put my hands on the table? Why should I, you know, or my elbows on the table? What's the, why all this cultural, let's just make up our own culture. But there is a reason for culture. And it's to bring the consciousness higher and higher and higher. Hello. Aren't these the nicest kids? We're part of such a beautiful, rich, uplifting culture. I'm so happy. Sing that song forever. Yes. It's like medicine, isn't it? It's like medicine. You feeling a little depressed? You take this medicine. There's your medicine. Before you try the other drugs the doctor's prescribing, you try this medicine. You sing this song every day. You see how you feel.
Raghunath, they will now go to Venezuela, Denmark, America, and other addresses. What would you like them to take home from the retreat?
What would you like them to take home? You know, there are, you know, when we build these campfires at our farm, we build the big fires sometimes. Sometimes we have to get rid of logs and branches. We build bonfires, very big fires, like higher than the trampolines. Trampoline. Higher than the chandelier. And sometimes it shoots like a big spark. And if that spark lands on dry grass, then we have to worry about that grass, you know. And if it flies onto the wet grass, then the spark goes out really easily. So we're all spiritual beings. Even if you don't believe in God, we're spiritual beings. Our body's moving. The spirit is moving the body. We're all spiritual beings. We just sort of forgot. We just sort of identify ourselves with, I'm an Italian, American, New Yorker, from Brooklyn. We have these multiple labels, but we actually have one real label underneath all the other labels. Whatever your gender is, you know, ethnicity, skin tone, there's just underneath all that externals, there's one intern. We're all spiritual beings. That's how we find connection. So we're all spiritual beings, and therefore there are people in our lives that will extinguish that spark. My spiritual life can get extinguished by people who do not recognize themselves as spiritual beings. And they try to keep us on this material platform, bodily platform, mental platform, political platforms, nationality platforms, ethnicity platforms. They extinguish my spiritual life. And I feel dull, and the world becomes sad. No one feels good after watching Fox News or CNN. No one feels like, yeah, what a great day it is. Let's have a great day today. No one's feeling good. They all feel like there's some others out there that I gotta hate. Because the others are ruining the world. You know what's ruining the world? My own mind is ruining the world. And so we don't want to land when we go, when we land on our plane, we don't want to land in wet grass. Now there's other people in your life as well. There's people that when you get around them, they make you feel higher, lighter, more connected, more joyous, more free. They see the world in a different way, a different vantage point. They lift you up. They see something great in you, something greater than you even see in yourself. Those are the people we want to surround ourselves with. We want to create a blazing flame. We are that spiritual bonfire. Right? And it's easy when I'm around him and around him and around her and around her. That's easy. But when I go back, that's when it gets tricky. I have to surround myself and hand select people I want close. And if you really focus on your spiritual life, because people ask me this question all the time, Raghunath, I feel like I should cut these people out of my life. They're toxic people. I'm hanging around too many toxic people. They need to be cut. What do you think of that? I got news for you. You just keep chanting the holy name, singing from your heart. Walk down the street and sing. Hey, Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. You just walk down the street and do that. They're not going to even want to hang around with you. They're going to want you out of their life. You don't have to worry about kicking anybody out of your life. Does anybody in this room have somebody in their life that says, what happened to you? It used to be so much fun. Right? It was a different gradation of fun. This is a party, isn't it? It's been like a party every day. Right? What do you do at a party? You sing. Right? You dance. You spontaneous dancing. Yesterday was... No, it wasn't like a choreographed dance. It wasn't like, let me show you how I dance. It was a spontaneous, from the heart. Let's just... People were just like getting up and dancing. I see Kelly. Kelly's just like, nah! It's almost like embarrassed. She's like running to the back of the room, like, nah! Taken over by spirit. It's beautiful to witness that, you know? And that's what a party is. You dance, you sing, you eat, you laugh. Can anybody remember other parties that didn't quite turn out that well? Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future, they say. So we can remember an old vantage point of what partying meant. And now you look back to it, it's like, how was that a party? That was horrible. That was a nightmare. We're just raising the bar of how to party. This is the Sankirtan party. So find some people, collect them, and you stay fixed. You have this love affair with Krishna. And it will create like a spiritual force field around you.
Thank you.
Is that okay?
Yes, yes, very relevant. Very relevant. Very relevant. Can we ask our Christopher to come, please stay for the
invitation? Maharaj, you used a phrase that I thought was really nice. You were saying that if we practice these four practices and then we seek these three spiritual blessings, that we'll have a life that's less ordinary.
Yeah, that was nice.
And I think, you know, really what Raghunath and I are doing with Wisdom of the Sages and with these retreats and whatever we're trying to offer is we feel undeservingly somehow certain people came into our lives and they made our lives less ordinary. It's almost like it was black and white and then it became color. Mm-hmm. You know, and they took us by the hand and they brought us to very special places and they introduced us to very special wisdom and they gave us very special experiences. and they gave us practices that transformed our life from ordinary to extraordinary. And it's made it like we can look at our lives now as like part of a story. Like we see, like here's a story, the Ramayana, and you know it begins and everything's really nice, and then all these difficult things happen and all of these challenges come forward, and then one needs to step up and become empowered and have courage and overcome the obstacles and reach the goal. And really that's how all these life arc stories go. They're throughout all the different cultures. There's stories of ordinary people in ordinary lives, and they're given challenges. And in the process of stepping up and having the courage and overcoming the challenge, their life becomes extraordinary. And we hear these things and we think, oh, that's inspiring. And then the show is over and then we think, I'm back in my ordinary life again. Mm. Yeah, and it's kind of dull and not so exciting. But if we could zoom out, again, with, you know, perspective, we would have a different perspective of the journey of our, not just life, but many lifetimes, that we're all on this journey. And it's gone through so many different turns and so many different challenges and so many different hills and valleys. And but is it going somewhere? But by the time it gets to the end, it's really glorious. It's a really beautiful thing. If we look to Bhagavatam and to the text from the great bhakti teachers, it ends in a very beautiful way, where there's a complete reconnection. Where the love story, you know, the lovers are rejoined finally, you know, as the goal of it all. And everything's very beautiful and wonderful and complete. And it might be hard for us to conceive of this, but we're all very close to that now. Like, we've almost reached the goal, the conclusion of this, the beautiful conclusion where things go happily ever after. Although we may not be able to see that from the perspective that we're at. And commonly in the story, as you get closer to that final goal, the challenges start coming more and more. But also commonly in these stories, like the hero or the protagonist, they meet someone important and they're given some wisdom and they're given some inspiration, or they're given something like the sword that they need, or the weapon that they need, or the conviction that they need to be fearless and not be deterred by any obstacle and reach the goal. And I think that that's what we're trying to cultivate here, that there's a beautiful, extraordinary, not ordinary, but extraordinary goal in life. And by coming in contact with bhakti, we've all come very close to the conclusion. But we know that the challenges will come. So we're feeling inspired in the association of each other, but as everyone's mentioning, we have to go home. And then the challenges will come, and the challenges will be different for everybody. Sometimes they'll be kind of like mundane, but still very challenging. Sometimes they'll be like really, you know. I got a message the other day from a really special woman who I'd met only once, like not even 2 months ago. But she said, "I started listening to the podcast. It totally changed my life. I'm practicing bhakti now. I'm excited." You know, and so we met in just once, but it was a powerful connection. And then she texted me just the other day while we're here, and she said, "Could I speak with you?" And then she began to explain the challenge that she was going through. It was like someone actually tried to kill her. Someone took her property and started burning it all. So, you know, like, she had these extraordinary challenges. But, and then I was speaking to her on the phone, but I could see how level-headed she was. But I'm okay. Because I've got this wisdom of the Bhagavatam. I know that I'll get through this. I know that this was meant to happen to me for a reason, and that it's meant to not deter me from this practice, but to take it, not to lose faith in God, but to lose faith in the material world. That's what this message means. And to go further with stronger conviction, you know, towards my goal. And so we'll be faced with all kind of challenges. And, you know, some of them will be like voices that are saying like, this is cultural appropriation. Right? This is, you're taking from a culture and you're an oppressor and you know. And someone else is going to say, this is spiritual bypassing. You're ignoring the real problems of the world. Getting into your spiritual thing. You know, and being completely impractical. And you know, there's truth. There's like a thin truth in all of these things. But when you go deeper, you find that, no, this isn't spiritual bypass. This is giving us the answers to go into the world and solve the problems. Right? This isn't cultural appropriation. This is something that connects people of all cultures and all backgrounds. You know, on a superficial level, these challenges will come to confuse us, to divert us, to try to, you know, as we're approaching that goal, to break our conviction. But the answer is always that if you go deeper, just a little bit deeper, you'll find that these challenges are not so, they're almost like imaginary. And they disappear, right? Like when we see it clearly. And that's really what Raghunath and I had. We had people that, they were deep. They are deep. And they're always able to show us the deeper answers. And we could see in their lives that because they had that deeper understanding, their lives become extraordinary. And we're just kind of like hanging on and saying, can we come with you? People like Satchinanda Maharaj were like this for us. They continue to be like this for us. And so many others. So Maharaj mentioned that, you know, I've really thought, we talked about earlier in the retreat, we talked about how artists frame something important. They see something that others aren't seeing. And they say, oh, this is important, this is sacred, this is powerful. And then they put a frame around it for us. And then we look and say, oh, now my attention is drawn right where it needs to be at. And Maharaj, there's 18,000 verses in Bhagavad, but he took us to one right here and put a frame around it for us. He said, look at this. Right? With these three blessings, we have that power. It's almost like someone gave us the sword, you know, gave us the weapon, gave us the message that we needed to get.
The mysteries of the universe have dropped on our lap.
Exactly. You know, and I was, you know, we need that attachment, you know, we need that exalted sangha, and this idea of friendly relations with all living beings, right? That living beings are going to come and challenge our conviction to practice this. And actually the mystery, the secret weapon is that actually they're not our enemies. We don't have to become angry and bitter and get into some tension with them. We can just like say, okay, challenger, thank you. but I challenger. Say, I go deeper.
Can we just call them challengers?
And this is a deeper understanding, right? This is a deeper understanding. They're not our enemies, but it gets to the point where the challenges become not a problem, but we're expecting them to come. And they become easy to cross over because we're not all disturbed in mind. But I think because our practice is bhakti and the essence of our bhakti practice is called sankirtan, that we all do this together. It's not that we're trying to say, like, I'm trying to escape the problems of the material world and I don't really care what happens to the rest of us. It's actually, we all do it together. Right? We're all moving towards this goal as a group. And anyone that's interested in that, we can grab their hand and take them along with us, and we're all going together. So we're a family. And sometimes these stories have to do with, like, to reach that final challenge, finally everyone needs to work together. Right? Like sometimes they're about like a basketball team or something like that, and everybody's got their ego, and they can never, even though they have talents and they have powers, they can never work together. And then finally they get some inspiration. Hey, what are we doing? If we all work together, we'll be able to do so much more. And then finally, like the guy that's always like shooting, he decides to pass the ball to someone else. And then, you know, and then the team starts to work together and they're doing so much more than they were ever able to do before. And so that's what our practice is, that we're all working together. We all have different talents. We all have different skills. Some of us are more extroverted. You take someone like Raghunath, he's just, it's all flowing out like crazy. It's colorful, it's fun, it's yours. Some of us are more quiet, and our special powers need to be pulled out by others, you know. And then, but then when we see, we're like, oh, this person's got incredible powers. But we all need to work together. And what we're trying to, Maharaj mentioned that, you know, I could speak a little bit, so I'll just very briefly say, we began our, we're about this week, beginning tomorrow, is our session two of our sage groups. And it's nearly 300 people that are participating now. And with now an expanded group of group leaders that are all, every one of them is a special, beautiful, empowered person. And so now, you know, we have a sangha of like thousands of listeners, and then within that there's like this concentrated group that's like, I want to go deeper, deeper, deeper into this, and I need help, and let's all do this together. And through that, I think the practices that Maharaj had mentioned, the sangha, the sadhana, the seva, and the shastra, these will become stronger in our lives. These are this principle, you know, the challenges that we'll face when we go out there, the distractions, the confusing circumstances that we go through, will become stronger to face those challenges and to reach that goal. So beyond that is kind of like, as this thing is, it began, Wisdom of the Sages began with just Raghunath speaking to like six people or something like that, right? Like every morning online. And it kind of grew and grew, and after some months, it was just like, wow, there's 80 people that are waking up at 5 a.m. to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe we ought to put this out like a podcast and see who else is interested. And then it jumped and jumped and jumped until it was like nowadays about 8,000 people per day download an episode. And we're sitting here scrambling, like we are disorganized, people that, you know, aren't... and we're saying, there's so much interest, we need to help care for these people, but we're really incapable of doing it on our own. So we really need the cooperation of everyone to try to provide all the different resources that this growing family needs to be able to practice this shastra and the sangha and the sadhana and the seva. I really see save as such an important thing. Everybody's coming to me like, what do I do now? Like, I have faith in this. I want to practice this. But what? I need to be connected. What do I do? And so we all need to get better, you know, at kind of providing that. And I think that's something that can also grow out of the sage groups. But we plan to provide much more. We plan to expand the Sage Academy, where there'll be, we want to bring you people like Sachinanda Maharaj, people that we know through our own many years of experience, that they're just mines, you know, of treasures of insights and experience to help one practice bhakti. And so we want to bring that forward too, as like that every day there's different courses and classes and trainings and inspiration coming to you all. But how we do it, we don't quite know yet. You know, it's like it's a aspiration, it's a vision that we have. I know that we will get there, but it will really require all of you also being part of it too, and not just as a recipient, but as like a
as contributor.
A contributor. Right. And so, I when Raghunath ended his singing his song, he just said, "I'm so happy," and I was feeling the exact same thing. You know, I'm just so happy. This is a beautiful family, and it's connecting and it's positive. We're going to face our challenges, we're going to go home with those challenges, but we're going to walk right past them. You know, because we've got each other, because we've got these insights, because we're staying connected, even though we may be separated, we may be apart, we're all staying connected, you know, through the podcast, through the sage groups, through the friendships that we've developed. We're all staying, nobody's going to be alone. Everybody's going to have support. And if you're feeling unsupported, then just reach out. Mm. You know, like reach out to us, say, you know, I'm feeling unsupported here. I need some help. I mean, the challenges are too much. And that's when someone else reaches out and, hey, let me connect you with so-and-so. Let's bring this into your life. Maybe you this is what you need right now. Together we can do it. So if you are feeling, if you're ever feeling that, I need help, you know, don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel shy. Don't feel like, oh, I'm being silly or I'm being like a problem. Mm. But just reach out. And we may not be able to do it as quickly and as smoothly as we want right now. But even by reaching out, we're going to learn more about what the needs are. And as we cooperate together, we're going to find ways to strengthen the support system. Mm. That's all I
have. Please end the program.
Please end the program. Okay. This concludes our program. Should we sing a little?
We still have a busy day.
We have a very busy day. This is our sort of closing, but we have a whole day. But, you know, some people might have to leave or something like that. So we wanted to sort of close right now.